live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, 9 staff members at a restaurant in Donegal have tested positive for COVID-19. The Taoiseach has strongly hinted Dublin will be facing further restrictions from tomorrow. Sinn Féin says thousands of students have been left behind as a result of the Leaving Cert calculated grades process. And there are calls for crash barriers to be installed at a number of locations in the Milford area as a matter of urgency. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, a Donegal restaurant remains closed after 9 staff members tested positive for COVID-19. Burrito Loco in Letterkenny closed on Thursday last after being made aware that a positive case of the virus was connected to them. They say they immediately enacted their COVID plan and all staff members were tested. Trish Lafferty has more.
In a statement published on social media, Burrito Loco says 90% of its staff were tested within 2 hours on Friday morning and the remainder tested the following day. It was confirmed today that 9 staff members have tested positive. They believe the infection to be a community transmission of a staff member who was on a night out, came to work and then took 2 days off due to feeling run down. When the staff member returned to work, they reportedly did not display any COVID symptoms and never showed a high temperature when checked upon returning to work. 4 days later, 2 other staff are said to have had symptoms of a head cold, but nothing that would point to COVID symptoms, and within a day or two felt normal. It took, they say, 8 days in total for the virus to spread through staff, with all having mild to no symptoms, except for one who's still feeling poorly. Burrito Loco says all staff have been in contact with the Public Health Authority and are cooperating fully with their track and trace teams.
The Taoiseach has strongly hinted Dublin will be facing further restrictions from tomorrow. The Cabinet Subcommittee on COVID is meeting to finalise the long-term roadmap for living alongside the virus. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
The Cabinet Subcommittee on COVID has been meeting this afternoon to finalise the roadmap plan that will spell out how Ireland will live alongside this virus until at least April of next year. It will contain 5 levels of restrictions, with 1 being the lightest and 5 being almost a full lockdown. Most of the country will be put straight onto level 2. However, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has hinted that Dublin will be higher on the scale.
The message, I think, to any county that may be heading into additional restrictions, like Dublin, for example, is that if we work together, if we remember the 3 W's, we can get on top.
That means fresh restrictions for the capital are likely to be in place from tomorrow. Varadkar also confirmed there will be small fines for being in breach of the new rules. The return of spectator sport is likely to happen under this plan, with potentially as many as 5,000 people being allowed to attend games in the bigger stadiums like Croke Park and the Aviva. The government will also change the rules around foreign travel to adopt the system being developed by the European Commission of traffic light levels of restrictions on entering different countries, while NPHET's advice is now to be overseen by a cross-departmental group which will analyse it to see what the impact will be on society before any decision is made.
In the north, 2 more people with COVID-19 have died. The death toll has now risen to 570. 109 new cases have been detected there in the past 24 hours, with the total number of positive tests now standing at 8,423. Boris Johnson says a controversial bill which breaks international law and undermines the Brexit withdrawal agreement should be welcomed by those who care about the UK's sovereignty. The legislation would allow the British government to work around the part of the deal which stops a hard border on the island of Ireland. 5 former UK prime ministers have come out against the legislation, while there have been warnings there will be no chance of a US-UK trade deal if the withdrawal agreement is breached. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says they need freedom of movement for goods and people within the country.
Now that we've left the EU and the transition period is about to elapse, we need the armature of our law once again to preserve the arrangements on which so many jobs and livelihoods depend. That is the fundamental purpose of this bill, which should be welcomed by everyone who cares about the sovereignty and integrity of our United Kingdom.
Sinn Féin says thousands of students have been left behind as a result of the Leaving Cert calculated grades process. Students were downgraded by up to 70 points as a result of the standardisation process by the Department of Education. The student portal, which also showed the teacher's initial mark, opened this morning. Sinn Féin's higher education spokesperson Rose Conway-Walsh says the system wasn't fair for everyone.
I have one student who's on, she got 506 points, but yet has no offer of a place. And I think it's quite disingenuous of the government to be patting themselves on the back that they got this almost right, when we see that thousands of students haven't got fair play in this.
Bed and breakfast owners in Donegal will be able to apply for grants of up to €4,000 from today under the Restart Grant Plus scheme. The scheme is open to B&Bs who do not pay rates and aims to help with the cost of reopening and operating their business during the pandemic. The grant will be administered through Fáilte Ireland on behalf of the Department of Business, Enterprise and Innovation. Tara Cleary, Accommodation Development Manager with Fáilte Ireland, says the grants will be processed in two phases.
Now, those businesses that can actually access today are those properties that are approved under the National Quality Assurance Framework with Fáilte Ireland. There will be an opportunity over the coming weeks for properties that aren't on the approval list of the National Quality Assurance Framework to also apply. So this is relevant to all bed and breakfasts across the country, but it's coming in two phases. And the reason that we have a second phase is because we have all the information and the verification details on the business that are approved, and those businesses that aren't approved, we have to set up another system to accommodate them. So that will be happening very quickly and not difficult at all. And for those that I'm going to talk about the first phase first, obviously, they just have to go on to the Fáilte Ireland portal, and any business who is approved with Fáilte Ireland will have actually used this portal on numerous occasions before. So they'll go in, it's very obvious where the application form is, they have to fill out some details, and it's a self-compliance, they just tick a box to state that they are compliant with any statutory requirements, etc. And then they input all of the information. We check to make sure all the information is there. And once we have everything, it would be a maximum of 2 weeks by the time they would receive their payment. Health and safety regulations say if you're serving food, you have to actually be registered with the Environmental Health. So it's again just ensuring that a business is a genuine business, so that they have to have been opened as well prior to 2020, because this is a restart scheme for these businesses.
There are calls for crash barriers to be installed at a number of locations in the Milford area as a matter of urgency. A section of the Knockalla Road, which is effectively on a cliff edge, is currently without such a barrier, with a car dropping 100 foot in a crash there last month. A number of points along the stretch from Kerrykeel to Milford are also said to be in desperate need of barriers. Local councillor Liam Blaney says Donegal County Council must apply for the necessary funding to improve safety for both motorists and pedestrians. He says the crash at Knockalla a number of weeks ago could have been a lot worse.
It's above what's known locally as the Patching Caves, and with the way things have gone with COVID, there was a huge amount of people about there this year. And there's a lay-by there, and I asked that they put a crash barrier up there as well, or an interim to put rocks around it. There's plenty of rocks up around Knockalla that can be put around this lay-by. But on the beginning of August there, a car went over the top of that and dropped over 100 foot down below, and luckily it stopped at 100 foot because there's a huge drop further on down. If it had went further, maybe it might have been a lot worse scenario than what we're talking about today, but lucky enough, the occupant of the car was able to get out of the car. And that's just a couple of examples of what is very badly needed in this Milford area, and I'm quite sure a lot of other likely areas and Donegal as well, but the one that I'm focused on is the Milford area, and I'm asking that the council will make an application to the department immediately to try and get funding for crash barriers in this area.
Surely that crash at Knockalla last month would some way go towards as evidence that a crash barrier is needed there.
I think that the council does agree themselves that it's needed. It's a fact of time to get funding for it. And that seems to be where the problem is. To get funding specifically for crash barriers, and it's very, very small amount of funding that does come to county for crash barriers. And I'm hoping with this motion and give different examples of around the area, that hopefully the department will see fit to allocate some extra funding for it.
Repairs to a footbridge and riverwalk in Carndonagh are set to commence after significant damage was caused to the area during the August 2017 floods. Last year, residents in the area started a petition to secure the necessary repair works to the bridge, which links at Donapar to Carndonagh Community Hospital to allow access for residents to school and hospital facilities. Cathaoir Lough of the Inishowen Municipal District Councillor Albert Doherty says the works have been eagerly awaited locally for some time.
This matter has now been resolved. Council now have a licence to traverse the bridge and exit, and I have it in good authority that Council now will be treating this with priority and works will commence. The end, or the beginning of the end of a long, long saga.
When can we envisage works to be finalised there?
Well, I spoke to the senior engineer on Friday last. He said if the confirmation, which has now just come through this morning, came through, that he would see that the commencement of the works at the bridge would commence forthwith. So I'm taking that this week, that some access issues will now be resolved on the Donna Park to JCM crossing the bridge and the end of the blockade, which has been there for close to 3 years, 2 years.
And this will mean undoubtedly a lot to the local community who had been using that walkway quite regularly.
Yeah, this is part of a number of items that will have to occur. We lost our picturesque river walk on that awful evening. Since that, Donegal County Council, and an issue that I've pursued, we have taken in charge Donna Park. We have the council who have given an undertaking that they'll take in charge the bridge. So these are works that commence forthwith, and there now should be safe exit from Donna Park onto the schools, the community and JCM hospitals.
Campaigners say a new bill is not a slippery slope to assisted suicide being available for everyone. The Dying with Dignity Bill will be introduced in the Dáil this week and would allow people with a terminal illness to end their lives. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly had called for the Dáil to take action on the issue while in opposition. Campaigner Vicky Phelan, who has terminal cancer, says she supports the bill.
I mean, I've suffered from depression myself, and I know, you know, if this bill had been in when I was, you know, in a really bad place, I may have taken advantage of it, and, you know, that would have been the wrong decision, because I'm fine now. I got through it. I got help. For me, I think this has to be very rigid, and that's why I'm supporting this particular bill, because it's for those who are not going to survive. You know, they're going to die. People like me allow us to die with, you know, in a peaceful death and with dignity.
Around 6,000 chickens have been killed in a large fire in County Tyrone. The blaze took place at a farm shed in Dungannon shortly after 10 o'clock last night. Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Services says it is believed to have started accidentally.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
At 5:15, it's time now for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with Gaelic Games. The championship rivalry of Naoi Conaill and Kilcare will renew in this season's Donegal Senior Football Championship final. Yesterday, Naoi Conaill reached a fourth Donegal Senior final in a row after they defeated St Unan's 110 to 12 points after extra time in McCool Park. Kilcare, of course, came through their game against Gweedore in very, very wet conditions on a Saturday evening. On Sunday, Naoi Conaill, the defending champions, were trailing by 3 points, but Leo McLoon scored a contentious goal in extra time, which proved to be a huge score and one which put them on their way to returning to yet another final. Martin McHugh was on commentary for Highland Radio Sport yesterday.
At the time, I was a fair distance away, I suppose, no more so than Martin Regan has said, the Naoi Conaill manager. He said he'd be disappointed if it happened the other end and it wasn't given as a free out. But there's a lot of videos going about today. But I've just got the rule here, Oisin, and it states, when he is within the small rectangle, the goalkeeper may not be charged, but he may be challenged for possession of the ball, and his puck, kick or pass may be blocked. Incidental contact with the goalkeeper while playing the ball is permitted. So this is where the rule there, you feel that last line, incidental contact with the goalkeeper playing the ball is permitted, that that would leave it as a goal, and people say that was a goal. The other point about it, though, is when I look back, and it is a shy thought, Sean Paton took possession of the ball in the air and then took it down. Now, does that mean that he had possession of the ball and wasn't allowed to tackle him? It's one that's sometimes be given, and it's a talking point in the county and everything else. And again, as we all say, sometimes talking to 10 people, 5 say goal, 5 say no goal. The decision was given, the goal was given, and that's it. And you know, you have to give a lot of credit to Liam McLoone for following the ball in and taking that chance. And you know, Niamh Connell, they remind me of the Meath team of the past. They're never see die attitude, and it keeps them in games, and you don't know when you've them put away.
Well, in the end, Kieran Thompson, who was a major doubt for the game, pointed late in extra time as the defending champions advanced to play Kilkear in what is a repeat of the 2017 final. Donegal senior team manager Declan Bonner is looking forward to the big decider.
Good to see Kieran getting in there yesterday. You know, there was doubt all week of whether he'd start or not. Came in and he actually done very, very well. He won 2 or 3 really good catches in the middle of the park, but the score was an absolute gem, and what a way to win the match. And yeah, set up a really, really interesting final, you know. And you know, Niamh Connell last year getting to that Ulster final against Kilkew, I think they've learned a lot from that, Niamh Connell. You know, of all the teams that I've watched this year, they just seem to be well organised, well set up. And but now you're up against Kilkear, which is going to ask a lot of questions. So yeah, looking forward to that.
Declan Bonner, and you can hear more from Declan Bonner tonight here on Highland on the DL Debate podcast with Brendan Devaney. Inter-county players, of course, can officially return to training as from today. Also joining Brendan on the programme will be Frank Craig of the Donegal News to talk about the Donegal Championship semi-finals, and his special guest will be the great Tomás O'Shea from County Kerry. The DL Debate online on highlandradio.com, and of course also available on air just after the 7 o'clock news this evening. Well, it's expected tomorrow that sporting organisations will be told crowds will be allowed to return as part of the government's new medium-term COVID-19 plan. It's reported 500 will be allowed at club level and up to 5,000 for larger venues like Croke Park and the Aviva Stadium. Since the 18th of August, all sporting events in the 26 counties have taken place without spectators, while in the north, 400 can attend games. With Donegal GAA county finals in the coming weeks and Finharp's relegation battle with Cork City at Finn Park to come, there is no doubt the return of crowds will be welcomed in the northwest. On the soccer front, Derry City boss Declan Devine was hugely disappointed with his side's performance in the 0-0 draw with Finn Harps on Sunday in Ballybuffet. Derry failed to get a single effort on target as Harps came close on 3 occasions. Declan, however, said he was glad that they didn't lose the game at Finn Park.
Very poor, not good enough. We haven't had a shot in target in the game. We knew we were going to be on for an aerial bombardment. We dealt with that at the back. I can't knock at defenders. I thought McJanet again was excellent, but we haven't created enough. Really disappointed because we have a lot of attack-minded players on the pitch, and I don't know, for one reason or the other, we haven't created any chances, which is the most disappointing factor for me. You know, we've come down here, we've set up all week about attacking, and then whenever we've played balls on their front players, it hasn't been retained. We haven't created anything. We haven't ran them on behind enough. So all in all, very disappointing night. Glad we haven't lost the game in the end up, but ultimately we've got to get back on the training pitch and work a bit harder than what we did tonight in terms of getting ready for Friday.
Well, with that result, Finn Harps have moved off the bottom of the Premier Division. They sit ahead of Cork City on goal difference. Next up for the Harps is a trip to Tulka Park on Saturday against Shelburne. Here's Harps boss Ollie Horgan.
They were very unfortunate not to get into North out of Dundalk up in Oriel Park, and any team that goes there and are disappointed not to win or get a draw are a handful. They've beaten us here with 10 men back 6 weeks ago, and you know, Tulka Park is a hard place to go to, but we have to try and get something out of it because we're running out of games. And we'll look at the goal difference that keeps us up at the end of October, or should I say get us into a playoff, because whoever ends up in a playoff is going to have their hands full, as we know. But it would be great if we could get there and see, could we take another cut off it. But look, we'll see what happens next weekend up in Tulka Park.
Cross-channel soccer, Chelsea go into their season opening game away to Brighton without some of their big-name summer signings. Hickman Sayak, Thiago Silva and Ben Chilwell all missed the trip to the Amex Stadium, but there could be debuts tonight for Timo Werner and Kai Havertz. Kick-off there is at 8 o'clock. Before that, Sheffield United welcome Wolves to Bramall Lane, and that one kicks off from 6. And in golf, Scotty Scheffler will miss the US Open next week after testing positive for coronavirus. His place at the second major of the year will be taken by Brandon Grace, who missed the PGA Championship after contracting COVID-19. And that's it from the Highland Radio Sports Desk for today. You can, of course, recap all the sporting action from the weekend by logging on to our website, highlandradio.com. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisín. And finally in news, a man has appeared in court in Donegal today after being charged in connection with a number of driving offences, including drink driving. Gardaí on patrol in Sligo last night were alerted by members of the public to the car driving with just three tyres. The vehicle was stopped and the driver arrested on suspicion of drink driving. The driver was also found to have no licence and there was no tax on the vehicle. It was also discovered that he had an existing warrant. Weather now, cloud increasing and scattered showers will develop and spread this evening. Mild and humid tonight with variable cloud and scattered showers and lowest temperatures of 12 to 15 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, a Donegal restaurant remains closed after 9 staff members tested positive for COVID-19. Burrito Loco in Letterkenny closed on Thursday last after being made aware that a positive case of the virus was connected to them. They immediately enacted their COVID plan and all staff members were tested. The Taoiseach has strongly hinted Dublin will be facing further restrictions from tomorrow. The Cabinet Subcommittee on COVID is meeting to finalise the long-term roadmap for living alongside the virus. Bed and breakfast owners in Donegal will be able to apply for grants of up to €4,000 from today under the Restart Grant Plus scheme. The scheme is open to B&Bs who do not pay rates and aims to help with the cost of reopening and operating their business during the pandemic. And there are calls for crash barriers to be installed at a number of locations in the Milford area as a matter of urgency. A section of the Knock Alla Road, which is effectively on a cliff edge, is currently without such a barrier, with a car dropping 100 feet in a crash there last month. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, September the 14th. The death has taken place of Richard Druce Cashel Creeslaw. Service of remembrance and thanksgiving for the life of Richard Druce will take place in St Michael's Church Creeslaw on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock. Private cremation to follow. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and service are private to family and close friends only, please. Service can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv/camera/ St Michael's Church Creeslaw. The death has taken place of Mrs. Evelyn Stewart, Mondew Manor Cunningham, reposing at her residence. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. Funeral service in Rye Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Rye Presbyterian Church Hall, Kev Gibson Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Brendan Mitchell, Dundee St Johnston. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. Remains reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:30, going to St Bathan's Church St Johnston for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Margaret Porter, 28 St Joseph's Park, Buncrana. Remains reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:15, going to St Mary's Church, Cockhill for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. Requiem Mass can be viewed on webcam via Church Services TV/Cockhill. The death has taken place of David Brown, Woodhill, Manor Cunningham. Remains reposing at his residence. Funeral service in Rafoe Presbyterian Church tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family, friends and neighbours. Family flowers only, donations if desired to breast cancer research, care of any family member or Gibson's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Sean McGee, Massenass, Creeslaw. Funeral mass in St Michael's Church, Creeslaw, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the oncology unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or James Harkin, funeral director. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please. Mass can be viewed on MCN Media /TV/camera/ St Michael's Church, Creeslaw. The death has occurred of Tommy McHugh, Lachana, Burton Port. His remains are reposing in his home. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Columbus Church Acres, with interment afterwards in Belcroch Cemetery. Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family, neighbours and close friends only. The death has occurred of Leonard Crumlish, Clonkilly Moor, Termin. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning, going to St Columbus Church, Termin, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, which can be viewed live on the parish Facebook page. Interment immediately afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family, neighbours and close friends. And the death has occurred in Air Dry Scotland of Gladys Kerr, named Maxwell, formerly of Kiltoole Convoy. Gladys's funeral will take place at 10 a.m. in St Serf's Air Dry on Thursday, with Requiem Mass followed by burial at Coltswood Cemetery, Coatbridge.